Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast, and today we're finishing up our interview with Weston L. Collins about his book, Deorum, Gods Among Us. This is a Christian fiction book, you could say, and we went into a lot of detail yesterday, so if you missed any part of that broadcast, go back and listen to it just to catch up. We're going to start off today's broadcast by jumping right into the thought processes that led him to the writing of this book. And then at the end, we got something special because we start talking about his nonprofit called STEP, S-T-E-P, which stands for Show Them Everything Positive, and how he uses that to help transform the thought process and the way that inner city youth, especially black children, view themselves. And he does it through this book, and it's all tied together. It's a fascinating story, and I want him to tell it to you. So right back into the interview with Weston L. Collins. Okay, so you decided to write a novel. Tell me the thought processes you used to settle on that format for delivering this message.
So my thought process for writing this particular novel was, initially I had set it up as a video game because a friend of mine was actually going to school for video game development. Okay. You know, writing code, 3D imaging, all that type of stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, he didn't exactly make it as far as, you know, what he was trying to do. And that's understandable. You know, things like this, they're not cut out for everybody. Right. And I just had like this idea, you know, I just had this thing that was just sitting there. I was like, you know, I have to get this out here in some way, shape, or form because this is too big of an idea. This is too crazy of a story to just, you know, leave in the back of my mind. And so I decided, okay, what I'm going to do is essentially take my my readers through the video game. You know, like the story that I created for this game, but as a novel. Okay. And it, believe it or not, it seemed to make more sense, and it seemed to ebb and flow a lot better as a work of literature as opposed to a game, believe it or not. Which still could be a game, don't get me wrong.
But. Right. What's the name of the book?
So the name of the book is Deorum, Gods Among Us. And if anyone is asking, it's Deorum. So if you look back on, just the study of mythology, there is like a very, very famous and, you know, there's a very famous and prolific series of books called Deorum, which basically describes the stories of, you know, like the Greek and Roman gods.
Okay.
And the thing is, you know, like, and obviously I'm not plagiarizing anything because basically, you know, it was literally written centuries ago. And so it's pretty much you can use it. But it describes the book and it's almost in its entirety because it's essentially about a 13-year-old boy who's discovered that he is the descendant of the Egyptian god of war who's named Montu, right? And what he discovers is that, you know, the world of Egypt, you know, of course in the book, but he discovers that in the world of Egyptian gods is real and that all the different gods that existed have descendants who now live in the modern day. And as he meets other descendants, he discovers that there's a prophecy that says that one of them is supposed to be essentially, you know, the god of the new world. And he doesn't really understand if it's supposed to be him or if he plays a big part. And it's interesting to see, you know, like what actually happens. Another thing interesting is, like I said, the fact that he's 13 years old, so he's discovering what it is to be a man. Also, he's discovering, you know, that there is a difference between humanity and divinity, you know, as a god. So, you know, it's not necessarily a lot going on, but you can definitely tell that, you know, him as a, you know, he's been a human being for most of his life. And so, you know, it's a struggle for him. And it's interesting how he deals with it all.
Okay. Now, what are the other characters and how have you incorporated them into the novel? Some of the other major ones.
Okay. So there's one character that I definitely want to talk about. I said his name incorrect. I spelled his name incorrectly in the book, but I did that for a reason, and I'll explain to you why in just a second. So one of the main characters is named Ahmad Raymond, who's the descendant of Amun-Ra. Now, the actual Egyptian god is named Amun-Ra, but I named him Amun-Ra. And the reason why I named him Amun-Ra is because Amun is actually the derivative, is actually, you know, the source word for, you know, like when we in prayers, we say Amen.
Right.
Okay. So Amun, believe it or not, is the, if you look at the etymology of Amen, it's the source of where Amen comes from.
Okay. So he was like a god, Egyptian god himself?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's the reason why, it's actually part of the reason why we say Amen after, you know, to end prayers. It's because Amun-Ra was considered on earth, you know, of course, this is mythology.
Right.
He was considered, you know, the god of all gods. You know, he was the end. And so because of that, that's why prayers were ended with Amen, as opposed to, you know, so that's where that comes from. You know, and I have a lot of little things throughout the book that are, you know, because I am Christian, you know, just to say that for the record. And, you know, I have a lot of Christianity throughout the book.
Yeah,
you know, like, you know, like,
this is a book of fiction. Am I incorrect? Correct. It's a fiction novel.
I've
interviewed other authors that have written fiction novels that the Christian theme is, you know, throughout the novel. It's just not blatantly out there as being Christian.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where I'm coming from. Some of the decisions that he makes are very much so decisions that that Jesus made throughout the Bible. Certain things that happened to him or certain things that happened to Jesus throughout the Bible. And if you're a believer and you've read the Bible and you study it, you can pick up on those things. And they're little delightful tidbits throughout the story that, you know, that'll put a smile on your face because you'll be able to see throughout.
Amen. So tell me about the superhero for the novel, the hero of the novel.
Hero of the novel is the 13-year-old boy, John Montgomery.
Okay.
You know, he starts out just as a regular 13-year-old kid. It's his birthday. His mom said that he could go to the skate park after school. You know, so he goes to the skate park. You know, he's about to go to the skate park. Actually, cuts out of school early because, you know, he's a regular kid. He's not, you know, some straight A student. You know, he's not he's not anything special other than just being himself. You know,
right?
And in a blink of an eye at the exact moment that he turns 13, because that's what happens to all the descendants. His world completely changes. Wow. You know, he undergoes a metamorphosis that, you know, completely changes his life. And, you know, because of the power that these descendants hold in the story, you know, there's, you know, countries and corporations and people trying to take control of these powerful beings, you know. So it's funny, these people have been watching him. You know, you come to find out that these people have been watching him for a long time. And the minute he turns 13, they're right there to try to snatch him up. Mm. And, you know, that's the thing about the book. I have no reason to start out slowly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get right into the action. We get right into the action as soon as the book, as soon as you open page one.
Wow. So,
you know, with that being said, you know, it's...
Okay, so what's your goal with this novel? What is it that you want your readers to take away?
Well, the one thing that I want my readers to take away from the novel is that, you know, even though you may be unsure of yourself, maybe you might be not so confident in everything that you do, just know that, you know, everyone started from somewhere, and that if you essentially stay the course, then you'll eventually come out in a place where, you know, you'll be good. I mean, you won't have to sit there and worry about, oh, am I going to do this right or wrong, or I'm going to do that right or wrong, because I have a belief, and I hope I express this in my book, is that God has a plan for all of us. You know, mm-hmm. no matter how, you know, what we do, no matter what we say, God knows everything that's going to happen. See, okay, I know I'm going off on a tangent, but the way I see the world is like this. Yes, we were put on this earth, and yes, we have free will. But I don't think that it's actually the free will that people think it is. I believe that it's a different kind of free will. So I feel that God has put us on a path to follow what he wants us to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And because here's the thing, if God, you know, if we truly had free will, and God would know what's going to happen. We are on a very particular path. Mm-hmm. Now, where free will comes in, it's not necessarily I get to do what I want to do. Free will basically means that you can either walk the path with God or you can walk the path without God. But the path is always going to be the path, no matter what you do or say.
Yeah,
it can either be rough. It can either be rough and rocky and bumpy, or it can be smooth and easier with God walking beside me.
Yep. That's the blessing and the curse. Deuteronomy 28.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so with my book, I want to show people that we all have a destiny. We all have a purpose. It's just that the only free will we really have is whether you want to walk with God or not walk with God. And that's where our free will ends, you know?
Okay. All right. Now, your book is available on Amazon, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
In both Kindle and paperback format. So
okay.
Depending on what you enjoy.
All right, so we'll put a link to that in our show notes. Now, in the final minutes, I want to talk about your nonprofit, STEP, STEP. What does that stand for?
Yeah. So STEP stands for Show Them Everything Positive.
Okay.
We're based here in San Antonio. We initially had a couple of events. Actually, we were not STEP at this time. What happened is that we were... doing what was known as the Black Panther Challenge. And what that was is that there was a guy out of New York who basically said, hey, people need to see this movie, you know, representation, you know, in mm-hmm. science fiction and comic books is very important. So we need to support this movie as much as possible. And so what my friend and I, Trey Scepter, what we did together and a bunch of other people, his wife, you know, and like just a ton of people, like what we did is we got together and I raised a bunch of money and, you know, he raised money and people, you know, reached out to other people to raise money so that we could take a bunch of kids from the Boys and Girls Club and also the YMCA to see this movie.
Cool.
And we not only took them to see the movie, but, you know, due to the efforts of everyone else who helped, we were able to create an experience. We were able to, you know, create a, you know, a bit of history about, you know, the clothing that you saw in the movie. You know, like, mm-hmm. We were able to provide the kids with traditional African face paint. We provided head wraps for the little girls, and cool. You know, if you see the movie, you know, the main character at the end has a shoulder scarf with like kente cloth and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. We were able to provide that for the young men, and we just created like a whole educational experience around the movie as well as showing it to them. Now, we had two successful outings. We were able to take in total about 350 kids
wow.
to see this movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, the good thing is after one of the viewings, we were eating lunch, and all of a sudden, just this idea dawned on me that, you know, we should turn this into a nonprofit, but not just do movies, but let's show them different cultural experiences so that way they can become more well-rounded people.
Yeah.
But, you know, also, you know, just tech stuff with computers and just everything, you know, mm-hmm. because one thing, you know, that both of us had growing up is that, especially with my friend Trey growing up in the places that he grew up in and his mother living in Japan and everything else, mm-hmm. he had the experience of, you know, consuming different cultures.
Yeah.
And when you're able to, and I had the experience of consuming different cultures because, you know, you talk about New York being a melting pot. Houston, Texas is a huge melting pot.
Amen.
Of all sorts. And we feel like we're better people today because of all the different aspects of the various cultures that we were able to consume. And, yes. You know, some of these kids, you know, unfortunately, they're in situations where they're not necessarily in a situation where they can be exposed to a bunch of different cultures. I mean, a lot of the kids, unfortunately, haven't really left their side of town, you know. Some of the kids have never experienced food other than, you know, the chicken nuggets that are right. made at home or
yeah.
whatever fast food restaurant is around the corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to show them that there's more to life than just that, you know. And,
so,
and if they can see that there's more to life than just that, then, you know,
so other than taking them to movies, what else? What other work do you do with them?
Okay, so other things that we have in the works is that I have a friend who works for the Culinary Institute here in San Antonio, and which is, you know, basically like their executive chef
right.
school.
Yep.
They basically what we want to do is. We want to create like a small festival with just foods from like around the world and different dishes that they can try and, you know, experience that way, you know, and then also, so, you know, because some of them, you know, unfortunately, you know, they have to cook for themselves and things like that. And he wants to show them easy, healthy meals that, you know, that they can do themselves, or even maybe without the stove or whatever, you know, just to, you know, just to show them that you don't just have to eat, you know, ramen noodles and, you know, just that, you know, not, and that type of stuff. You can do other things. Another thing that that they have here that's pretty big is they have a fairly large Diwali festival here in San Antonio that celebrates Middle Eastern and Indian culture. You know, we want to do a field trip so that we can show them, you know, the traditional dances and, you know, the food and, you know, the art and the culture.
Right.
And then
right.
There's also, we'll do cultural stuff like that, you know, like different African dance, you know, things, you know, and, you know, it may be like a head wrap class. Oh, and the one thing that I definitely am excited about is there's a guy that basically teaches, you know, he teaches underprivileged kids how to fish. You know, and a lot of times
they've never been fishing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times, you know, they haven't even seen the water, you know, and to take them out there and to show them that, you know, because fishing is one of those universal things, no matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, whatever, you know, or if you're rich, you're poor, or whatever, you know, you go out there on a lake or, you know, off a pier, or if you have the opportunity off of a boat, and, you know, you cast your lure, and you sit out there and you let the calm of the water just relax away whatever stress you may have in your life.
Amen.
You know, fishing's one of those things that anybody and everybody can do. And
Amen.
So, you know,
now you mentioned the Boys and Girls Clubs. Do you work through churches as well?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
On a side note, I don't know why I completely forgot about this. There's a local Baptist church who their choir wanted to send their choir wanted to go see the movie, and you know they asked if they could get involved in what we were doing, and at the time, because of the way we planned everything, we didn't have room for them. So what I did is just out of my own pocket, I just paid for all 46 kids to go see the movie.
Wow.
Just because I wanted them to see it.
Right.
You know, I wanted them to be a part of what we were doing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I couldn't. But I was like, you know, if I could at least do this, then it'll be worth it. So.
Amen. Weston, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question or to get you to do an interview such as this, how can they do that?
So you can contact me via my Facebook page, Weston L. Collins. I'm the only Weston L. Collins that's an author on Facebook, so, you know, I'm pretty easy to find. Just message me there, or you can, you know, send me a tweet on Twitter. You know, again, Weston L. Collins. I'm the only Weston L. Collins on Twitter, so, again, pretty easy to find. And, definitely. I'd love to, you know, to talk to people about, you know, the book and, you know, any and everything else that's going on.
All right. We'll put links to all that in the show notes. And you said the book is available on Amazon, correct?
Yes, it is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback format. So if you're a person who's super, you know, a super technology person and you've got every gadget in the world, you've got it right there on Kindle. And if you're more of a purist, you like to feel the page between your fingertips, you know, there's a hard, you know, there's a paperback cover and there's a paperback edition on Amazon as well. The one thing I did want to tell you about the paperback edition.
Uh-huh.
So there's an interesting story behind the back cover. So I told you about my cousin-in-law's son, who inspired a lot of this, right?
Yeah. Right.
So what I did is I turned him into my protagonist, John Montgomery. If you look, if you get a chance to look at the paperback, on the back of it, there's a description of the story. But on the back, you see the protagonist becoming Montu, who, you know, according to Egyptian mythology, was the falcon-headed god of war. That was his official title. Okay. And if you look back, I actually did some crazy things with Photoshop to where you could see the falcon's head bursting through, you know, his face. And the person that I used as the model for John Montgomery was, of course, my, you know, my cousin-in-law's son.
Yeah.
His name's Deriontre Mercer, by the way. You'll probably be seeing him and on television playing college football because, yeah, he's done rather well for himself in high school, and he's got all sorts of colleges and universities looking at him. So
that's awesome.
Definitely look out for him.
Amen, amen. Weston, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come on our program today. I appreciate all that you're doing to make a difference in this current culture climate we have going on today. And I pray God will continue to bless you and your lovely wife and your nonprofit and make this book into a bestseller. Amen. That's
Amen.
Our prayers
Amen.
For you.
Thank you.
Okay. And tell your father from one, I'm a former Army officer as well. So from one Army officer to another, tell him thank you for his service for me. Will you?
I definitely will. And thank you for, allowing me to be on this show and reach so many people.
Not a problem. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Weston, I keep telling people I got to get this clock fixed because it seems to run fast every time I'm doing an interview. Folks, I want to encourage you to click the link in the show notes or go over to Amazon, get Weston's book, give it to your church, give it to your library, give it to a kid in the neighborhood, order two or three, do all the above. Amen. Glory to God. And we're not limited.
Amen.
And God will give you the resources to do it. Just trust him. Use this to encourage young people today. I mean, there's so much going on in this world that's discouraging. Give them some encouragement. Praise God. All right? Weston, I thank you again for your time. And folks, for Weston Collins, myself, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.